This is Ozarks at Large for Tuesday, October 2nd, 2012. I'm Kyle Callums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. The University of Arkansas Theater presents 33 variations through October 7th at the University Theater Fine Arts Center in Fayetteville. This play examines Beethoven's Diabelli variations and the journey of a musicologist to discover why Beethoven was compelled to write 33 variations on a simple theme. Tickets and more information are available at 575-3946.
On this edition of Ozarks, an update on the implementation of Common Core in Arkansas classrooms. This year, 3rd through 8th grades are adding the curriculum, plus Circle of Life Hospice expands in Benton County.
But first, the city of Bentonville will hold its annual City Expo tonight. Bentonville Mayor Bob McCaslin says this is the fifth year for the annual event aimed at raising civic awareness among residents.
We brought in several departments that the public normally would not see, such as our information technology department, our legal department, our utility billing folks that work behind the scenes. Literally the entire city of 400 employees representing every department and every service that the city provides to residents, businesses, and visitors on a daily basis, and just to let them be better acquainted with what we do. And I guess my goal is to let them better see what their tax dollars do and hopefully go away more informed.
The City Expo is from 5 to 7 tonight at the Bentonville Public Library. In other Bentonville news, yesterday the city announced that the Bentonville Airport has been named the 2012 Arkansas Airport of the Year. The honor was bestowed on Louise M. Thaden Field during the Arkansas Airport Operators Annual Conference on September 25th. McCaslin says the honor is a nice recognition of renovations that have taken place during the past 5 years at the airport.
We had a devastating tornado in March of 2006 that took care of our terminal and some other ancillary buildings at the airport, and they were for sure out of date, and we were going to replace them. We just didn't know that the tornado would help us do that at a faster rate of speed. So they're recognizing the fact that we've made a commitment to our airport for general aviation, and we think that over a period of 5 years, the improvements are magnificent.
McCaslin says while the airport may be small, it has the distinct advantage of having a terminal within 10 minutes of the headquarters of the largest retailer in the world.
The Fayetteville Police Department released arrest statistics yesterday for this year's Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue event. Between Wednesday and early morning Sunday, police made 26 arrests inside the Dixon Street event area, and of those 26 arrests, 19 were local residents. According to a release by the department, the most common charge involved public intoxication and disorderly conduct, though there were two citations for a minor in possession of alcohol. And somewhat miraculously, only two citations were issued for engine revving, a violation of the city's noise ordinance. The Benton County Quorum Court tonight will continue working on the county's 2013 budget. County Judge Bob Kleinard says that 2013 will be a tough budget year.
We've got the EMS service that we're paying for that we're not sure exactly how that's going to come out. So that's a concern. Our jail receipts are down. We don't have as many reimbursements from the state for prisoners because of the state law they passed that eased up the regulations on putting people in jail. They're letting more people go on parole or ankle bracelets or whatever they're doing. And so it's decreased our jail population and therefore decreased our revenues.
The law the county judge is referring to is Act 570 of 2011, a law aimed at reducing prison overcrowding by offering parole or monitored release for some nonviolent offenders. The Quorum Court meeting begins at 5:30.
Police and sheriff's departments across the state of Arkansas are activating smart 911 networks to aid deputies, firefighters, and EMS when responding to 911 calls. Arkansas is the first state to offer the smart 911 service statewide. It's a database where individuals can enter information like a home address or a medical condition so first responders can more easily find someone and assess their condition when responding to a call. Last week, the Fort Smith Police Department activated its smart 911 system, citing the trend of residents switching to cellular phone versus landline phone services. According to a release by the department, dispatchers are provided with a phone number, name, and address from which a call was placed, if that call is made from a landline. But only the phone number, wireless carrier, and approximate location are given to dispatchers for calls made from a cell phone. This week, the Pulaski County Sheriff's Department is activating the system at its department. Pulaski County Sheriff spokesman Lieutenant Carl Minden says having someone's information preloaded when they call can be a crucial help in an emergency situation.
Most time when you call 911, it's because something bad's happened, to be honest. And a lot of times you're excited, you're not thinking right, you have a hard time even remember just the simplest information about yourself you may not be able to come up with. And if you have a profile set up and you call 911, it gives that information directly to the dispatcher, has all your base information. If you had something special they need to know, it's available as soon as you called.
Lieutenant Minden says people need to activate the service on their own, though. There's no requirement to do so. He says to sign up, go to smart911.com.
The University of Arkansas is stressing its international reputation for excellence as the university this morning announced a partnership between the college and a governmental agency in Panama. Under the agreement, the Walton College of Business will offer a degree program leading to a Master of Business Administration degree in Panama. The 13-month program will be taught by full-time Walton College faculty, mixing online and in-class sessions. Classes will be in four-week sessions with 32 hours of in-class instruction by faculty members, 16 hours online. Partnering with the U of A to offer the program is the Universidad de Panama in Panama City. Signing the agreement with Walton College Dean Eli Jones was Chancellor G. David Gerhardt, as well as Panama's National Secretary of Science, Technology, and Innovation, and the Panamanian President, Ricardo Martinelli. President Martinelli graduated from the U of A in 1973 with a bachelor's degree in business administration.
This week is Fall Cleanup Week in Siloam Springs, meaning that residents can get rid of spare appliances, furniture, mattresses, and used tires without rims. Electronics and e-waste must be taken to the city's solid waste transfer station on East Ashley. On Friday and Saturday, the city will accept household hazardous waste at the transfer station. More information is available on the city's website at SilomSprings.com.
After losing many of the games and trailing in wins in the Texas League North at the end of its fifth season, the Northwest Arkansas Naturals have been named the 2012 Texas League Organization of the Year. Although the team's on-field performance may not have been close to stellar in the latter half of the season, according to a release by the Springdale Chamber of Commerce, the team averaged more than 4,600 fans per game and an overall attendance of more than 321,000. The league honor comes as the Naturals are scheduled to host the Texas League All-Star Game next season.
Tonight, expect partly cloudy conditions with a low of 50 degrees in northwest Arkansas and a low of 57 in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, we'll have partly cloudy skies with a high of 73 degrees in northwest Arkansas and a high of 82 degrees in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow night, expect partly cloudy conditions in the evening, then clear with a low of 59 degrees in northwest Arkansas. In the River Valley, expect clear skies in the evening, then partly cloudy skies with a low of 63 degrees.
This is Ozarks at Large. The new education standard known as Common Core continues to be introduced into public schools across Arkansas, last year in K through second grade classrooms. This year, third through eighth graders and their teachers are experiencing Common Core for the first time. All but five states have adopted Common Core since it was first introduced in 2010. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich takes us into a local middle school.
Students quickly grab stuff from their lockers in between class periods at Holt Middle School on Ruppel Road in Northwest Fayetteville. 500 children attend class here, and this fall, all of them are being taught math, English, and language arts under the new Common Core standards. Susanna Williams teaches 7th grade English language arts and reading intervention classes at Holt.
It's exciting because we are going deeper into the kids' thinking, and we're trying to let them have a chance to explore what the author's really saying and what that means to their lives, how that's applicable.
For example, middle school students across the district are reading and analyzing Jordan Sonnenblick's young adult novel Drums, Girls, and Dangerous Pie. The story is about a precocious young teenage musician dealing with his younger brother's cancer diagnosis and the drama that ensues around his effort to help raise money for his brother's medical care.
They love it because this is actually something that is going to be applicable to them. We're going to have a fair next Monday for charities, all the different charities in Washington County that are going to come and present their material. The kids are going to be asked to do an argumentative piece that's research-based on which charity they should choose to give their money or time or energy to.
The book stimulates students to perhaps for the first time think about things like empathy and philanthropy. Teacher Susanna Williams says Common Core is a deep interdisciplinary approach to learning. With the reading and writing standards being taught in social studies classes, science classes, even music, art, and PE classes. Imagine music class students studying the effect of a musical score they've composed on brain function in science class. The Common Core classroom configures students into collaborative working groups rather than rows of desks facing a lecturing instructor. Remember choosing a back row desk if you were shy or a slacker? The working group is the great equalizer. Again, English teacher Susanna Williams.
And they're more likely to speak in groups, small groups of four, than they are to venture an answer for the whole class to hear. That's a huge esteem booster for them, the fact that they've already pre-rehearsed it with you, and then they can say it in front of the class. And they feel safer in that kind of environment. Plus, it's more engaging. It's more interesting. If you just, all of us, how many of us love to sit and listen for more than 10 minutes? No. When the bottom goes numb, the brain gets dumb, that's what we all say. They need to move. They need to talk.
Back in the day, students were required to purchase writing tablets, the lined paper kind. But now students are increasingly using smart tablets and laptops in the classroom to learn. And teachers are also using a lot more technology. Kay Jacoby is Fayetteville Public Schools Executive Director of Curriculum and Instruction.
There are some computer labs, but frankly, those are kind of going by the wayside because rather than take a group of students to a place where technology is used, you want the technology in the classrooms with kids so that it's not an add-on or something extra that you do. It's just enmeshed within the process of instruction.
Kay Jacoby says half the students at Holt are already bringing their own smart tablets, phones, and laptops to school. The school district will supply devices for the rest at some point in the future as part of the interactive Common Core curriculum. On the FAYAR.net site, the school's district website, administrators have posted the fundamentals of Common Core for parents. And to the point, they've posted where American students rank internationally in learning. For example, fourth grade math and science students are in 11th place behind the Russian Federation in Hong Kong. By the time those children reach high school, they rank 30th. Common Core seeks to raise proficiency by replacing rote memorization with abstract reasoning and strategic problem solving, but in a shared national framework designed to meet global education standards. Kay Jacoby says rather than assign narrative or expository writing, Common Core students are being asked to craft persuasive papers in third grade.
And that moves into kids being asked to write argumentative papers at about grade 7. We've never had seventh graders write argumentation before. Typically, that's been a high school kind of writing that's been reserved for high school age kids. So that's one of the major differences. More difficult writing at earlier grade levels.
Requiring students to engage in critical thinking rather than regurgitating information. The Fayetteville School District counts 15 campuses and 9,000 students. And as Executive Director of Curriculum and Instruction, Kay Jacoby is making sure everyone is on the same page.
We met with teachers all of last school year, planned a curriculum map, the delivery of the curriculum for this year.
And teaching district administrators like Kay Jacoby is Dr. Laura Bedner, Assistant Commissioner of Education at the Arkansas Department of Education. One point she consistently makes to them is that Common Core implements disciplinary literacy.
And with the Common Core state standards for literacy and science and social studies, history, the technical subjects, they're all connected to college and career readiness standards. And they guide educators as they strive to help students meet the literacy challenge within each particular field of study. So I think you'll hear this on the national scale. That whole effort is referred to as disciplinary literacy. And what we have to make certain is that this content knowledge and the experiences and skills within each of these, as we've in the past taught in isolation or as separate subjects, that we can merge those with this ability to read and write, listen and speak, and especially think critically and perform in a way that's meaningful within the context of a given field, regardless of what, quote, subject area that is.
The notion of Common Core began several years ago after a manifesto was drafted in response to the call for a nationally shared curriculum. The U.S. Department of Education funded two testing consortia to develop it. And it was further developed by a collective of teachers, school administrators, professional associations, and experts. Again, Dr. Laura Bedner.
The commonality of the standards is very important among states because we know now that our students must be prepared to live in and compete in our global society. And quite frankly, right now with 50 sets of standards and 50 sets of different assessments, in many cases, our students are nowhere close to having that same common education.
Common Core assessments, testing protocols, are still in development, so students will continue to take the standard Arkansas Frameworks tests. Those frameworks are in part configured to meet benchmarks demanded by the Bush-era No Child Left Behind law. But this summer, Arkansas joined 35 other states in seeking and being granted NCLB waivers, in part because of the adoption of the new Common Core standards.
There's just a lot of pressure right now among our teachers because not only do we have the new Common Core state standards, they realize we are transitioning to a new assessment system. At the same time, with our new educator effectiveness teacher evaluation model that's also going on, so there's much pressure on all of our teachers right now.
And students back at Holt Middle School are feeling the pressure as well, but hopefully in that first day at school wearing new clothes good kind of way. Plus, Holt is home to the Holt Huskies, motto pulling together, a Common Core paradigm if there ever was one. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
To learn more, visit the Common Core Frequently Asked Questions page on the Arkansas Department of Education's website.
Mitt Romney called Russia America's number one enemy. Russia does have a new leader, or an old leader back again, Vladimir Putin, and elections in several former Soviet states could give Russia a chance to recapture some of its dominance. I'm David Green. What Russia Wants, plus baseball, let the playoffs begin. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation this afternoon at 1 on KUAF 91.3 FM.
This is Ozarks at Large. Circle of Life Hospice has been a presence in Northwest Arkansas in some form for nearly two decades. And as Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas reports, the organization is continuing to grow.
Born 20 years ago, Circle of Life Hospice did not open its own inpatient facility until 2006. At that time, it was the first freestanding inpatient home in Washington and Benton counties. That Springdale home serves its community well, but Circle of Life saw a growing need in Benton County, breaking ground on a home near Crystal Bridges in 2011. Though not set to open until early next year, Mary McKinney, Chief Executive Officer with Circle of Life, agreed to give me a tour of the building, still under construction. She began by telling me about the increased need for hospice care, both nationwide and locally.
But also the demographics of Benton County, the residents will have a need for all 24 inpatient beds.
As the population grows.
As the demographics, you know, show us that the 64 and above age group will more than double in the next 20 years. And the majority of people that hospice serves are of that age, although they're the majority, they aren't the only age groups that we serve. We serve all age groups, infants through, 100 plus years of age.
She says they want to grow into the building. This expansion is proactive versus reactive. The 24-bed facility will take the place of an 8-bed temporary facility, located just across the street from the new one in a neighborhood called Legacy Village, a realization of Northwest Arkansas Senior Services. The neighborhood consists of assisted living homes and maintenance-free homes. McKinney says Circle of Life, or Circle, fits in just perfectly.
So it really is a senior living area that meets the needs of all of us as we mature. And then, of course, hospice is more of the end-of-life care for people.
She refers to hospice care as a service that provides quality of life as the person enters the end of their life. Prior to opening an inpatient home, Circle provided care in patients' own homes. And over 80% of their patients still are in their own homes. Ryan Langston, Circle's Director of Operations, says an inpatient home provides different and more extensive services.
There are certain patients that just have symptoms or pain that just can't be controlled in that setting. And so those patients come to us. Again, less than 20% of those patients here in the IPU, and that's where we take care of them. They have 24-hour nursing care. The physician usually rounds every day. And just all aspects of that care is met here in the IPU for those who qualify.
As the Director of Operations, the 40,000 square foot construction project is kind of Langston's baby.
One of the neat things about this building is we had a blueprint to work from. We knew what didn't work and what did work. And so when we built Springdale, we didn't have that. And so what's been real neat about this project is the ability to really get it right. And so we're very optimistic that this will serve everyone very well and proud of it.
Most of the changes patients wouldn't notice, increasing efficiency for staff and whatnot. But one change will improve the comfort of some patients.
So what are some of those things that you did differently in this facility?
Well, let's go right around this corner and I'll show you just one thing that we added, something we actually hope to add to our Springdale campus one day in the near future. And that is a patient loading and unloading area. Right now that is an open space in Springdale, but this facility actually has a garage, if you will. It'll have a garage door that can go up. The ambulance can back in. A garage door can be shut if weather conditions require that. And we can unload the patient very comfortably. So, and this is the garage space right here. So we're real excited about this feature as an added benefit.
No one likes to get out into the weather, especially when not feeling well. Both facilities have full-size commercial kitchens to provide meals for patients, equipped to grant any wish. Thanks to community support, these kitchens also make Meals That Matter, a program that feeds a patient's friends and family who are visiting in the home. The building's two pods surround the kitchen. Langston takes us into one of them.
So this is actually pod two right here, and this area right back here, the canteen area, is where the Meals That Matter program is served that Mary was just speaking about. The laundry room I spoke of is actually right there. But then you see this nice, wonderful living space. So patient family members can come out here if they want to have a place to watch TV, or if they need a place to sit down, they can do that here.
See, Circle of Life doesn't just provide care for a patient. They also give support to friends and family members. Each patient room opens into this living area, providing both privacy and community. Recognizing a comfort found in nature, each room also has a private patio, with doors wide enough to fit a hospital bed through. What can we expect to see in a patient's room?
That's a great question. This patient room, a few elements of it. First off is the full-size bathroom. There'll be a little kitchenette, thank you. Kitchenette right here, complete with sink. It'll have a mini fridge as well as a microwave above. And some cabinet space to store items. Over on this wall, we'll have an armoire that will provide a place for patients to store clothing. And on top of that will be a wall-mounted TV. And so that patient will be able to watch TV if they're able to. And then, of course, on this wall back here is where the actual patient bed will go. And then other parts that are in here will include some table and chairs for family members.
Providing the ability for someone to stay with their loved one, each room will have a sleeper sofa. Mary McKinney, Circle's CEO, says that this inpatient facility allows staff and caregivers to provide what is important to that family and to the patient. She uses herself as an example.
I love the birds. And so I would want a bird feeder outside my window. And usually the patient never requests anything, but the staff asks the questions of, you know, what do you like when you're at home? Is there a certain type of music you like to listen to? You enjoy the birds? Is there a certain type of food you would like us to prepare for you? So every patient gets that, not a cookie cutter experience, but the individualized care. We like to say at Circle of Life, in fact, our tagline is the rest of your life lived.
Maximizing that period of time for someone, giving them the things that are so important, maybe a special meal or a special experience.
One gentleman we brought in, he said he hadn't missed a Razorback opening game in 60 years. And so he really wanted to live for that opening season game. It's been 3-4 years back. And our physician knew that that probably wasn't going to be possible. So we rallied and got Coach Burles and some football players to come in and call the Hogs and have photographs. And that was so important to that gentleman. And in fact, he passed away the next day.
The average stay in a Circle home is 6 or 7 days. McKinney says that it comes down to education in order to extend that length of stay.
So they know what their choices are, and they make their choice. I would never want to see hospice a mandated choice, but I do feel that we all could improve on educating the community at what hospice is, because too often we rely only on the physician to make that recommendation to say, hey, you know what? In fact, for me, they said, hey, Mary, you know, you all need to make a decision. You're going to choose to prolong your mother's life or prolong her death. And that's when I asked the question, what do you mean? What are you talking about? And we were literally in the ninth inning. We didn't have 2 strikes, 2 outs, but we were close to the ninth inning. My mother would have benefited more if she went on our service 5-6 months sooner.
When faced with the inevitable, she says we need to ask if hospice care is something to consider for the benefit of the patient. As a community, we often associate hospice care with cancer, but that isn't always the case. Hospice is for anyone that has less than 6 months to live. And as McKinney mentioned earlier, Circle helps patients of any age, from infancy to 100. Less than 50% of the patients Circle serves are cancer patients. And the support doesn't stop when a patient passes. Circle of Life offers many grief programs for friends and family. There is nothing clinical about this building. When you walk into the foyer, you are greeted with bright light from large windows and awesome high wood beam ceilings. The chapel to the left of the lobby is warm and welcoming. When the Bentonville Circle of Life home opens next year, it truly will be a home. Circle of Life is a registered nonprofit, and they have 2 upcoming opportunities to donate. If they can raise a certain amount of funds by October 15th, they will receive a $500,000 matching grant from the Mabee Foundation in Tulsa. And November 17th brings the 12th annual Voyage Gala. For more information, nwacircleoflife.org. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.
It's Tuesday, the second day of October 2012. I'm Kyle Kellum.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
With us is Becca Martin-Brown. She is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Did you know this rabbit, rabbit, rabbit thing?
I always heard it was rabbit, rabbit. And I learned it like on Nickelodeon when I was much younger.
Okay.
I don't know where it came from.
Say backpack.
Sure.
What Becca is referring to is yesterday was the first day of the month, and I started our conversation with rabbit, 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 which I know some people consider good luck if you begin the month by saying that.
Right, and I learned it as a child, like on Nickelodeon or something, to say
I'm just going to go with Dora and say backpack.
There you go.
All right. I'm going to talk to you about music. Kevin Kinder says this is somebody you should go see. It's called Vibe Squad. Hmm. Fresh off Bass Nectar's Va Va Voom Tour. This is an electronica producer who is on the road for a series of gigs, including tonight at George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville. Vibe Squad D has released a pair of albums, Orphan Alien Parts 1 and 2. I have no idea what I just said, but showtime's 9 o'clock and tickets are $12. And on the topic of things I have no idea what I'm about to say, our Arts Away for this week is comedian Ralphie May.
Oh, really?
who is playing. You know who he is, apparently.
Arkansas native, is he not? He's from the Clarksville, Ozark area, I believe.
But he was on Last Comic Standing. That's how I know him. He's a larger guy, or was a larger guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he had a Comedy Central special called Too Big to Ignore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh.
This year. He's going to be at the Midland by AMC in Kansas City tonight. He will be at the Pageant in St. Louis Friday night and at the Tulsa Convention Center Ballroom on Saturday night. And you can visit his website at ralphiemay.com to find out details.
Okay.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin-Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansongs. Glenn Campbell was born April 22, 1936, in Billstown in Pike County. In his autobiography, Campbell admits he can recall where he was when he learned he had his first number one record, and where he was when he learned that Elvis Presley died, but not when he learned that his career-changing television show, The Glenn Campbell Good Time Hour, had been canceled. He said he didn't even care. Eventually hugely successful as a solo hitmaker, Glenn Campbell had entered the music industry as a session man and became highly regarded enough to replace Brian Wilson in the touring Beach Boys. On July 13, 1968, Arkansas Governor Winthrop Rockefeller proclaimed it Glenn Campbell Day, and Campbell played at the state fair with family members, including his parents. Less than a year later, Campbell was appearing on his own network TV variety show.
I wanted a variety. That's why a variety show should be variety, you know. You can have Beethoven on the same show with Johnny Cash, you know, because it's variety.
Campbell was offered the slot after hosting several episodes of the Summer Smothers Brothers show, which was called the Summer Brothers Smothers Show. The writers included Steve Martin, Rob Reiner, and McLean Stevenson, and he also wrote for the Good Time Hour. Campbell had been a sought-after but anonymous studio player just a couple of years before.
I was very, very, very surprised for that show to take off like it did, because television is such a hit and miss. But the chemistry, it all came together.
Oh, it's crying time again.
I couldn't have planned that whole scenario if I wanted to. And like, the hits came at the right time, and then you got product out there to sell, and then all of a sudden you're doing a network TV show where you're seen by, 52 million a week or something like that.
But the Glenn Campbell Good Time Hour went on through its last season on CBS with another production company. Gone were Steve Martin and Rob Reiner, and Campbell never clicked with the new group. And though the show's ratings rarely dipped, after a three-year run, the Tiffany Network replaced the Good Time Hour with Sonny and Cher.
Trailers for sale are in.
The Glenn Campbell Good Time Hour had debuted May 21, 1969. Campbell's parents were filmed singing with their son Glenn in one episode of the show. Campbell says he could tell his father was curious as to why anyone should be paid for clowning in front of a TV camera. Additional guests on the Glenn Campbell Good Time Hour included Liza Minnelli, Andy Griffith, Judy Collins, Joan Baez, Cher, Willie Nelson, Ray Charles, and many more. Campbell's heard here with Roger Miller. Campbell also had fellow Arkansas-er Johnny Cash on his Good Time Hour. Cash's own musical variety show premiered on ABC television the same year. Both Arkansas-ers would use the large pre-cable TV audiences of the era to boost not only their own songs, but of other performers whose music they respected. For Campbell, the bloom was off the rose when the Smothers Brothers production company left the Good Time Hour. Network television took a heavy toll on my creativity, Campbell later said. But here's a more upbeat assessment of the show by Campbell.
We had a great time, and I can tell you, those were the good times.
Here in its entirety is Pike County native Glenn Campbell with Willie Nelson performing Hello Walls on Campbell's CBS television show, The Glenn Campbell Good Time Hour.
All right. What would you like to do?
How about Hello Walls?
Okay.
You start.
I'll start. Hello Walls.
Hello.
How'd things go for you today?
Don't you miss her? Said she up and walked away,
and I'll bet you dread to stay.
spend another lonely night with me. The lonely walls, I'll keep you company. Hello, window.
Hello.
Well, I see that you're still here. Aren't you lonely? Our darling disappeared. Well, look here. Is that a teardrop in the corner of your hand? Now don't you try to tell me that it's rain. She went away and left us all alone the way she planned. Yes, we'll have to learn to get along without her if we can. Hello, Celia.
Hello.
Hello. I'm gonna stare at you a while. You know I can't sleep. So won't you bear with me a while? We've gotta all stick together or else I'll lose. I've got a feeling she'll be gone a long, long time.
Hello, hello.
Hello Walls by Glenn Campbell of Billstown in Pike County with Willie Nelson. They're performing on Campbell's CBS television show, The Glenn Campbell Good Time Hour. It's another song of Arkansas. From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansongs.
Arkansongs is a production of FM 89 and Experiment Station Studios. For more information or to subscribe to the podcast, visit arkansongs.org.
This is Ozarks at Large. It is the first week of October, traditionally a big month for entertainment. Wayne Bell, who writes the column Culture Club for FayettevilleFlyer.com, is with me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. October 2012, going to be a big month for entertainment like previous Octobers?
October is always a pretty good month. You know, with the Olympics this year, a lot of the TV networks pushed back their premieres to October. And then a lot of good Oscar Beatty type movies start coming out around October. And you've got some big music and books too. So October is always a good month. It's kind of the first real month where things start to pick up after, you know, the summer.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things we can look forward to?
Well, on the 1st, yesterday, Arnold Schwarzenegger's new book came out, his autobiography, Total Recall, My Unbelievably True Life Story. You know, so that should be an interesting read, because not only does he talk about his you know, bodybuilding and film and political career, but he also talks about some of the more salacious stuff over the past few years of his life that he's kind of become known for. It's not ironic that this comes out around the time where he's trying to relaunch his film career.
Right.
So, whatever. And then today, Diana Krall's new CD comes out, and she is a kind of jazz vocalist who's a favorite of many people who like that kind of music.
And some hints of Tin Pan Alley, I understand, on this one. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to it.
Glad Ragdoll is her new album. And, you know, she's somebody who's become sort of a Grammy darling. And isn't she with Elvis Costello?
She's married to Elvis Costello, yes.
So she just kind of has created, she's broadened her genre and brought it to new people. And then on the 4th, 30 Rock comes back for its final abbreviated season.
Merely 13 episodes or something, right?
Yeah. That's NBC's way of saying, thank you for winning us all those Emmys for all those years, but you're not getting very good ratings, so you get 13 episodes to wrap it up.
At least they get to wrap it up.
Yeah. It tells you where NBC is placing their bets. I mean,
right.
It's very strange. What are they going to replace it with?
The Voice, Night 4.
Night 4. I think it probably has to do with salaries and everything.
Sure.
It's an expensive show. And then on the 10th, Nashville debuts on ABC, which has got pretty good word of mouth. A lot of the preview critics have said that it's about the closest portrayal of the entertainment industry for kind of a glitzy television show.
But this has nothing to do with the Robert Altman movie from a few decades ago.
No, it's sort of playing on this like Faith Hill versus Taylor Swift.
Oh,
where it's an older, younger, and the politics of the Nashville market and how sexist it still is. Hmm. So it could be interesting. And it's got Connie Britton from Friday Night Lights and American Horror Story fame. And then as we start to get towards the middle of the month, on the 12th, we have Argo, which is well-reviewed so far with Ben Affleck and Bryan Cranston. And that looks like that could be a really great movie.
It's a story based on real life, a fake movie being shot to help people rescue people from Iran during the hostage crisis.
Yeah, and it's been getting good buzz out of like Toronto. So I think that could be an Oscar caliber type movie. It just depends, or it could be something like The Town that he did last time, which got a lot of Oscar buzz, but ended up just getting one or two nominations. But a very good movie nonetheless. He's kind of coming into his own with those films. The Walking Dead comes back on AMC on the 14th.
Very excited.
Really?
Yes. I this is a show that I thought I would not enjoy at all, but it keeps pulling me back in. Yeah. A few too many gunshots, but still, very good writing.
Well, and then on the 16th, Ben Harper has a new CD out, for those who are big fans of him, By My Side. And on the 17th, American Horror Story comes back for its second season.
Now, it's the second season.
Mini-series. Roots 2.
Completely different story, right?
Yeah, completely different story. About four or five of the cast members are back, but they're in brand new parts.
I'm excited to see how this works. I think it's an interesting
take.
It's
a really interesting concept, and this new one takes place in an insane asylum that Jessica Lange runs.
Right.
So, I mean, that right there. Right. Give her an Emmy. Another one. And then on the 19th, The Sessions, starring John Hawkes and Helen Hunt, comes out. That's been getting a lot of buzz. It's Helen Hunt plays a sexual surrogate to John Hawkes, who's, I believe, a paraplegic.
Right.
So that seems baity for Oscars.
And she hasn't made many movies in the past few years.
Yeah. I mean, she's the woman who has been washing our windows at our house. I wondered what was happening. And then all of a sudden, she's back to form. So your favorite unwatched show, Community, comes back on the 19th.
Please, please, people, watch this. It's the best show nobody watches.
Yeah. And now it wouldn't make any sense to people.
That's true.
Like, what are you watching?
Well, right. So go buy the DVDs, watch them in a hurry, then join me and seven
or
eight others.
If you don't have anything else to do, watch the first 18 seasons of Community, and then you can get caught up. this would be a good time to maybe catch up on The Simpsons, too, or, you know, Saturday Night Live.
All the Meet the Press episodes, right.
Yeah, CBS Sunday Morning. Taylor Swift's new album, Red, comes out on the 22nd, and she always has blockbuster albums that come out. And then your wife's favorite movie, Magic Mike, comes out on the 23rd in DVD form. And that was a big kind of summer film that took off.
Steven Soderbergh directed it.
Steven Soderbergh. And then on the 26th, the WTF movie of the season. Daniel, my other half, watched the trailer the other night on TV and said, is that real or is it one of those Jimmy Kimmel spoofs? And it's Cloud Atlas.
I really want to see this. It's Tom Hanks.
And Halle Berry. Yeah.
So, and it's a science fiction movie.
Uh-huh.
And the few reviews that I've read already are gushing.
Yeah. So it looks like it could have like an Avatar type buzz or something where at the beginning you don't really know what it is, but it looks like it could have a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the end of the month, on the 30th, CeeLo Green has CeeLo's Magic Moment, his new CD.
Oh, fun.
Neil Young and Crazy Horse have a new CD coming out. And so when you look at the month as a whole, it looks like it's going to be pretty busy on all fronts, from books to film to TV and music. And then, of course, you've also got Halloween and lots of festivals going on. So it's a busy month.
And speaking of Halloween, there's a new Blu-ray edition out this week of 8 of the classic Universal horror movies, Frankenstein, Dracula, The Wolfman. First time on Blu-ray.
And there's always a market for it this past weekend, that Halloween animated film.
Hotel Transylvania.
That was the number one movie in almost 50 million. So, I mean, wow. It's a big market. And Frank and Weenie's coming out. So
Halloween used to be a day, maybe a week. Now it's a month.
Yeah. And then just the same, you know, Thanksgiving is 2 weeks and Christmas is 6 months. So
right.
it's, you know.
Too much is packed into the final 92 days of the year.
I know.
We need to stretch this out. Yes.
But that's how it is.
All right, Wayne, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Wayne Bell writes the column Culture Club for FayettevilleFlyer.com.
Ask Me Another, one of NPR's newest programs featuring a lively hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia, now has a permanent home on KUAF. You can hear Ask Me Another each Saturday at noon. We're also adding the TED Radio Hour to our Sunday schedule beginning at noon. And beginning this Saturday, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me can be heard at 9 a.m. For more information on these program changes, go to KUAF.com.
So Wait, Wait is Saturday morning at 9. And then Ask Me Another is Saturday at noon.
Mm-hmm.
And TED comes back Sunday at noon.
Sunday at noon.
October, by the way, is also the month of KUAF's fall campaign. All contributions made during this month count toward KUAF's fall campaign goal. You can show your support right now at KUAF.com.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 2nd of October. 2012. It's the birthday of King Richard III of England, born at Fotheringay Castle in Northamptonshire, 1452. He was the 11th child of the Duke of York. He was the last of the Plantagenet dynasty, which had held the throne since 1154. He fought at Bosworth Field in the final battle of the Wars of the Roses. And there, Richard III became the last English king to die on the battlefield. He was 32. He had reigned for only 2 years. And his opponent, Henry Tudor, then became King Henry VII. He has a bad reputation, Richard III. Shakespeare was not kind to him in his play. Richard did imprison his young nephews, one of whom was about to be crowned king, imprisoned them in the Tower of London, spread gossip about them, said they were illegitimate, took the throne for himself, was crowned that July, and the little princes disappeared in August, their fate still a mystery. It's the birthday of Wallace Stevens, the poet, born in Reading, Pennsylvania, 1879, worked as an executive for the Hartford Accident and Indemnity Company, walked 2 miles to and from work every day, and that's when he wrote his poems, writing down lines on slips of paper, gave them to his secretary to type up when he got to the office. It's the birthday of Graham Greene, the novelist, Hertfordshire, England, 1904, author of The Power and the Glory, The End of the Affair, Our Man in Havana. During the Battle of Britain, his home in London was bombed by the Germans one night, and Greene would have been killed, except that he was spending the night with his mistress. His wife later said his life was saved because of his infidelity. It was on this day, 1950, the comic strip Peanuts made its debut, drawn by Charles M. Schulz. He was 28 years old. It was an immediate success. Started out in 8 newspapers, soon was in more than 2,000. And The Twilight Zone had its premiere on this date in 1959, created by Rod Serling. It ran for 5 seasons, and it gave its audience a glimpse of many actors who went on to become big stars. Robert Redford, William Shatner, Robert Duvall, Dennis Hopper, Carol Burnett. It also featured old stars like Buster Keaton and Mickey Rooney. Here's a poem for today by Wallace Stevens, What is Divinity? What is divinity if it can come only in silent shadows and in dreams? Shall she not find in comforts of the sun, in pungent fruit and bright green wings, or else in any balm or beauty of the earth, things to be cherished like the thought of heaven? Divinity must live within herself, passions of rain or moods in falling snow, grievings in loneliness, or unsubdued elations when the forest blooms, gusty emotions on wet roads on autumn nights, all pleasures and all pains, remembering the bough of summer and the winter branch. These are the measures destined for her soul. Wallace Stevens's poem, What is Divinity?, from the collected poems of Wallace Stevens, published by Alfred A. Knopf and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Reputation.com, a service for managing businesses' online image by working to improve how they look in search engines and review sites, Reputation.com. Written by Holly Vanderhaar, produced by Nick Vedder. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
KUAF is supported by Arcom Printing, located on the hillside just east of the Township and College intersection in Fayetteville. Arcom Printing provides printing, copying, and digital output services. ArcomPrinting.com or 444-7711.
A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Mountain, Missouri.
Mountain, Missouri?
Mm-hmm.
Just Mountain, comma, Missouri?
Mountain, comma, Missouri.
Like Mountain is the community,
Mountain
Missouri
is the
state.
Community, yes. It's usually how this works.
Well, although there is, right? You go just across the border and there's Kansas, Oklahoma.
Sure, sure.
And for years when I was in college, that confused the heck out of me. I had a friend who was from Kansas, Oklahoma.
That is quite confusing.
Where is Mountain, Missouri?
It is north of Pea Ridge.
Okay. You took in some of Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue this
weekend.
I took
in a lot of Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue this weekend.
You know, and I followed it on Facebook because there are people who relish it.
Yes.
And there are people who despise it.
I am one of those people that loves the heck out of it. I just enjoy all of the people watching and all of the different people that come here. I thought it was much more crowded than it has been in the last couple of years that I've gone.
Which was the assessment from the people on Facebook I follow who hated it and loved it. They both thought it was very crowded.
Very crowded.
Most of the people who I follow who didn't like it live close to the action. And anyway.
I mean, I did.
It's a polarizing event.
It's fun. I had fun. They have the barbecue competition, which I'd never done. So I did that. And, of course, they had some live music. And then, of course, all of the bikes. So you go and you see the parade. But they did a really nice job, I thought, of kind of expanding it to different locations. Mm-hmm. The fairgrounds, the Washington County Fairgrounds had a lot of things. The barbecue, for example. And Bomb Stadium had some stuff. And the mall had a car show.
Right.
That sort of thing. But, yeah, I enjoyed.
I think there were fringe things that stretched up into Rogers and Bentonville,
I think there was
Eureka,
something at the Harley shop there.
Maybe Fort Smith even.
I believe Fort Smith had a concert, yes.
All right. Well, I didn't do much with that.
Missed out.
For no particular reason, just.
Yeah.
I should mention that I will be in Eureka Springs on Sunday.
Yes.
I've been asked by the Eureka Springs Unitarian Universalists to talk about local programming in the digital age.
Oh, very cool.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
And Gridiron Rehearsal continues for you?
Yes. I have today off to find the rest of my costumes and then lots of rehearsals and shows this week.
Friday and Saturday night are the shows. It's
yes.
at Rogers Little Theater. G. David Gearhart is the MC. I suspect tickets might be going fast. So if you don't have yours yet.
You should do that now. Yes. You can go to nwagridiron.com.
All right. You'll be on stage.
I will be
singing,
on stage.
Dancing.
I will be doing all of it.
All right. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellum.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
We'll be back together tomorrow for another brand new edition of the program. Thanks so much for listening.